Hey, it's Craig here. It's May 2019, and this is not an essay. This is a rambling that I'm going to do this month, and it's not through lack of preparation necessarily. It's something I've been thinking and writing about in different ways this month, the topic of uncertainty, that I thought I'm going to talk about it in a way that is unstructured, but also hopefully in a fairly simple way, anchored by a few key points that I think will serve comprehension and application better to just talk about in this manner rather than do it as an essay. So that's the structure. We'll see how we go. The idea of this focus on uncertainty comes from it being a month. It's been a month of politics, but also a couple of years of politics, and I think a reconsideration of the value of fact and concrete understanding of the world. And it's something that strikes me in a particular way that we might be reacting to particular political instances that come through by retreating into corners of logic and fact and piling up objects of concrete realization that we say this is the world in this particular corner that we think is true. And I think there's another way of responding, and I think that's what I want to talk about and try and make as clear as possible, this idea of humble uncertainty, intellectual modesty, quietism in the face of in the face of what can feel emotionally like that's not quite the right way to respond, but I'm increasingly feeling like it is. And I think where this came from for me was in the early days, when I've just said it's a month of politics, we've just had our elections in Australia here, the European elections yesterday, India just had a major election, England is having a change of leadership, and certainly we're now getting into the American election again, even here in Australia. I mean, it's a global phenomenon to look at what's happening, and I think ultimately so much of this is sourced in the confusion that came out of the concept of foreign interference in the American election in 2016, and what became apparent with the sort of bad actor, bad faith application of propaganda into social media and other media spaces, and the way that it was talked about, and certainly if you search on the internet for news reports around that time, there was a lot of explaining it in saying there are foreign powers trying to sow discord in the West. They're trying to create chaos in the West, uncertainty amongst people, so they don't know which way is up and which way is down. And so the response to that was to retreat into corners, into left and right factions, to again pile up groups of what is understood about the world from the perspectives of the different corners that you go into. So from a progressive standpoint, it was facts about the environment and ecological disaster and about immigration rule and law and about identity and different empathic ways of seeing that from a social standpoint, and then on the other side a more conservative, different economic ways of framing that. So there were, it seemed like the response to this apparent discord, this apparent sowing of chaos through bad faith propaganda, was for people to go into those corners, which certainly online we see algorithms forcing people together all the time to confront other standpoints, things like Twitter that have algorithms that explicitly take your worldview and put them into particular echo chambers where they can be heightened and then pair you up with the opposite view so that you clash and and have that sense of outrage which the algorithms feed off so ravenously. And I guess what I'm thinking and what I'd like to suggest is that it wasn't ever really chaos in the first part that was being sown or discord or uncertainty, but it was always a sense of concrete polarization that was being infused the whole time. I mean, very explicit facts that came through propaganda, not facts, but very explicit statements around immigration, very explicit statements as we're seeing now over in America around around pro-choice, pro-life. Those things and those bad faith arguments were never meant to sow chaos so much as a very, very guided direction towards particular conservative outcomes and ways of seeing the world that would then cause reactions and cause that clash. What I'm suggesting in a roundabout way is that the response to that should not be to further pile up all the facts that suit a particular political spectrum. So if you're, from a left progressive forward thinking, whatever standpoint, to not think, well, let's look at facts about the environment, let's look at facts about immigration, let's look at facts about identity and that sort of space, because that does just then pile up very concrete ways of seeing the world against other very concrete ways of seeing the world. And I think for me, the antidote to that is a humbling embrace of uncertainty and to enter into conversations, not by saying this is the way the world is, but by saying, let us all acknowledge that what we understand about the world is more often than not comprised of language games, of particular fictional narratives that we construct and generate into historical narratives that we feel make sense to us on some level. And because we are pattern seeking creatures, we try to line everything up in tables and logical causes there that make sense to us that we can then turn into an explicit way of saying that out loud. But it is at its foundation, a very uncertain, very shifting sands way of seeing the world. That's all that we can know from an epistemological standpoint, this sense of uncertainty. And I think it's the wrong move to go into a political discussion by retreating from that sort of uncertain acknowledgement and instead saying, here are all the things that I understand about the world. I think a further embracing of uncertainty is what's called for. If it is that bad faith actors are trying to sow discord, our response should be, we want more chaos. We want more uncertainty, less logic, less of a guiding of the human thought process into algorithmic binary considerations, which is our nature to be pattern seeking, to want to see things in that manner, and to instead say, let's reject our base natural instinct, let's reject our wanting to go into the corner, to reject the other, and instead let's embrace the really ambiguous, really uncertain ways of thinking so that we can share that with each other, that we can walk into a room and our acknowledgement of dialogue is from a position of uncertainty and of being extremely humble and modest in that way. And I think that for me is a really important way of seeing the role in what our humanity can contribute to these sorts of outcomes that we want to put into place to see us grow and evolve and move forward, is to do so from that part of ourselves and less of the pattern-seeking, black and white binary way of thinking, particularly since the systems that we're engaging with to have so many of these dialogues want to put us into an algorithmic space, and we need to reject that and go towards the abstract, go towards the uncertain, that sort of Pyrrhic skepticism. And on one hand, it feels like I'm saying embrace the romanticism, the postmodernism, deconstructionist sort of notions of that space and hold on to that instead of more modernist, classical, black and white, logical, tabulating ways of seeing things. And I mean, maybe that's true. Maybe that is what I'm suggesting is that lack of formalizing of our thoughts, and at least being very skeptical of when we are encouraged to move towards that space, because we ultimately do and need to call particular things true at certain times in which we're acting. But I think as long as we're doing it from an ethical space of uncertainty, so really I'm arguing for uncertainty as epistemology and uncertainty as ethics, in which we say, on the one hand, we can never be certain about things. I mean, an example is the ecological idea of thinking like a mountain. You think about, in terms of environmental policy and research and green agendas that we're wanting, that particular people, myself included, want for the world in terms of environmentally conscious ways of keeping the world healthy and going, or not going in the direction it's going, to wind it into another space where we can be more environmentally flourishing in the future. I think it's a core example of something that you say, well, I think we understand the right way to go, so let's make particular actions and decisions about it and fight for that particular corner. But if we do think like a mountain, which comes from the ecological consideration that you might think that you're making a particularly good choice based on one characteristic of this ecosystem. You think if only we were to remove this particular component or add a particular component, we'll fix what's going on here. But we are very rarely thinking like a mountain in terms of thinking of the bigger, the bigger systems in play, and we see through a pinhole within a keyhole of a situation, and it's a closed system that we think we know everything and we act, but we've actually missed the closed system outside of that, or the open system that is always imposing itself upon that space. So any time that we think we have a cradle of knowledge and say, well, we can act upon this in the right way, we actually, very rarely, if ever, know the full consequences of what is going to happen from that point. And that goes for anything. Think of child development, education, health, medicine. And again, it's not to say, well, I was going to, I mean, it's to always have that. It's like being in a squash court, playing squash. As I go back to the center of the court, that you go back to a position of uncertainty at all times. You look at the considerations, you take that into account, but even when you act, you do it from that ethically humble, modest, uncertain standpoint of saying we're going to do the best that we can based on the information that we've got, but we acknowledge in full sincerity that we do not know the outcomes that are going to come out of this, and we can only, from a sort of very Hippocratic standpoint, try and do the least harm based on things that we know and do. I think that's probably all that I really wanted to say on that. again, just to pull it into the summary point of looking at the political dialectic and the particular arguments being made all the time for ways of structuring and understanding the world, and think, let's acknowledge from an epistemological standpoint the inherent uncertainty of all that we can know and can call capital T true or small t true, the language games, the fictional narratives that we construct as part of our inherent pattern seeking human capacity to try and cogitate that. Let's embrace the uncertainty and share that as part of a dialogue with others, as part one. As part two, let's also embrace the ethical uncertainty of the decisions that we do make based on that uncertain epistemology, and we can never know the full trajectory that our actions are going to take, even the best of intentioned ones and the most well-researched ones to our extents of that we're able to do so. It's still, you know, almost certainly impossible from an uncertain framework to be able to tell what's coming out of that and what the actions are going to be. We need to try and think like a mountain, but even when we're trying to think like a mountain, we're often missing the systems outside of that, etc. And I think, you know, I often think about this with kids, teaching them the humble, modest position of uncertainty in encountering the things that come into their space too, rather than, you know, drawing that line in the sand and saying you either think this is true or that is true, or this is definitely not true and this is definitely true. I think that line in the sand should always be a blur, and to take a particular confident agency in that, I think is important, because the opposite is often more naturally inherent, that we have a natural emotional reward system that goes on inside of us that says, well done for taking a side, well done for choosing black or white, for going into your corner and piling up all the parts of the world that you think are true. That emotionally resonates and fuels you in from a very survivalistic, you're right, the other is wrong, standpoint. Your model of death you know, is accurate, so I'm going to give you a lot of emotional feedback for that. I think we need to reject that in the same way that we want to reject algorithms that try and push us into a particular space, and train our mind instead to give us emotional feedback when we choose a position of uncertainty and a position of unknowing, and to not feel the sort of lingual shame that comes out of, oh, you're a fence sitter, you're not, the only way that, you know, evil can happen is for good people to do nothing. I think we understand what that means from a historical standpoint and examples of that, but that does not mean that we should always feel the need to go into a particular corner and a particular side, and there are other ways of doing it, and those other ways are through a focus on uncertainty. And just saying that, just saying, you know, to be certain in uncertainty, the paradox within that just goes to show how difficult it is to have a simple language statement that can say that in any sort of philosophically reasonable way. And I don't think it should be a paradox, but that's something that I think we need to increasingly work on, ways of saying, I embrace uncertainty, and I do that in the full certain knowledge of doing so. So I'll leave it there. I know it's probably a bit of a diversion from some of the things that we've, well, not really. I mean, the other months have been leading to ways of talking about this in part. I do feel like next month's going to be a bit more education focused, but that's been my month of May. So thank you for listening, and if there's any further things that you'd like to share with me on this, I'm always happy to read your thoughts or read other thoughts, and We'll go from there. I do appreciate those who've reached out on the other months and had a dialogue about some of those topics too. So thank you very much for that. And I'll see you next month for June.